Support for this episode of FilmSack comes from listeners like the Flash Pulp Podcast. Find it on iTunes. And the Nobody's Listening Podcast, also on iTunes. This episode is for you guys.
This is Sheriff Buford T. Justice putting out an old porn advisory. That Black Trans Am is now headed toward Alabama.
What happened, Daddy?
Get back in the goddamn car.
Give me a Diablo sandwich, a Dr. Pepper, and make it quick. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 94. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight by Brian Buford T. Justice Dunaway.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah, that's you. The Dunaway part with the case, giveaway. Yeah.
Oh, in that case, did you see how that cop, he hit Ralph Macchio in the nuts? Did you see that? Must have just grazed him. Because he's standing up with his hands in the car like 5 seconds later. Also, who needs a GPS when you have a calculator?
That's awesome.
Why do I even bother?
Old days. The good old days.
Did you guys think that guy like Ralph Macchio, though?
A little bit.
That first car thief?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The punk, mm-hmm. He called him. I think he called him a punk.
Punk. Car thief number one.
Also punk. With us, Randy Choke and Puke Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. This is a red shirt, topside, pickle jar, pie wagon. We got a six-pick, black top, high top, daddy long legs on a swerve curve, pulling the biggest four-leaf little man highway marching band rocket launch you've ever seen. Come back.
I can't come back to that. I just can't do it.
No comeback.
I don't know what the hell you even said. And then also, finally, Brian, some bitch, Ebbett.
So, watching this, I decided that I want my own narrative theme song to be sung whenever I, you know, they're talking about me.
Right, like this.
Jerry. Well, you see that Brian's a cover master, a legendary podcaster. If you don't know his name, you don't know Jack. With his buddies all the way, Jordan, Jonathan, and Dunaway, they do a little show called Film Sack.
Wow. Dude.
I need a little guitar behind that.
That was great. Jerry.
I think someone should come and put a track behind that.
I agree. Let's get a little... I miss the days where characters had a country theme song in the movie.
Narration through the film. Musical narration all through the film.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the following film set covering the film Smokey and the Bandit. Directed by Hal Needham. Starring Burt Reynolds and company. Scott Fletcher often comes to the show and tells us what he thinks. Today is no different.
Smokey and the Bandit. A race car driver named Bandit, played by Burt Reynolds, makes a bet that he can transport an illegal shipment of beer from Texas to Atlanta in under 28 hours. Along the way, he picks up an unwilling bride-to-be, played by Sally Field, furthering his chances of being arrested. It turns out that her future father-in-law is Sheriff Smokey Justice, played by Jackie Gleason, and his boy is waiting for her at the altar. A car chase ensues as Smokey scours the South in pursuit of the Bandit.
Wow. Pursuit of the Bandit. I like that.
Yes. So roughly that's right. That's the movie. I've only seen this once and I was super little and I don't remember it hardly at all. So this was like the first time. Any first timers in the room?
First timer,
oh,
right?
No,
here.
Really? No. Many times.
Who is this Burt Reynolds of which you speak?
Mustache.
Didn't you ever see Deliverance?
Sweaty.
Yeah, actually, I did. See
actually, Deliverance. In Deliverance, he looks cool in Deliverance. That was like pre mustache, pre toupee. Burt Reynolds.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because he was starting to bald back then. Looked pretty good. That also starred Ronnie Cox. Just want to throw that out there. He's in that too.
Ronnie.
Ronnie. Sorry. Oh, yeah. I did tell you to remind me. Thank you. How about you, Randy? First time? Second time? Third time?
Okay, I think I've seen it before, but this was like a first time because I didn't remember anything about it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I think literally second time is roughly what this is. But this isn't our first film sack movie dealing with truckers, so I want to just lay this out real quick. We have had in the past Convoy, probably chief among them, Convoy. And that also had its kind of theme songy stuff like Ibbett's talking about, which is great. Over the Top, definitely a trucker movie. And I know there's more. Any Which Way But Loose is basically the same thing.
Well, he drives a pickup truck, but...
But it's that time, right? Yeah, it's the bell bottoms and the sweaty everybody and the cowboy hats and all that. Mm-hmm. So maybe three, this is the fourth movie, I suppose, that we've seen that's in this genre. It's a lost genre. It doesn't exist anymore. Nobody's making country-themed trucker, beer stop freaking movies anymore. These aren't being made, and I don't know why. What happened? Because you got to remember, back in the year this movie came out, 77, the only other movie that made slightly, I want to emphasize this, slightly more money that year was Star Wars.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
see? Huh. The perfect.
Right. So what happened to that genre? Someone help me out here. Throw me a bone. Why don't we get these anymore? Nobody?
Cars.
Nothing? Cars?
I just don't think the trucker culture is in our mind anymore.
Mm.
I think we just kind of accept it. I don't think there's enough. Is there enough working man out there to really relate to this?
And a big part of the trucker culture was the communication structure. You know, the CB, mm-hmm. as we've been and we're going to be talking about, and so forth. And they still do that, but we now live in a time when they all have iPhones and unlimited data plans and stuff. Mm-hmm. And no, they
10-4. Why do you keep saying 10-4? Well, iPhone. Stop it.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
let's switch to channel 11. We don't have to. We're on an iPhone.
The way we travel has changed. The way people communicate has changed. The way cops track troublemakers has changed. Like, nothing in this movie rings as true. And so, in a weird way, part of my enjoyment of the film, and I'll just say it right up top, I kind of liked it. Kind of had fun with it. I mean, it's not great. There's nothing fancy about it. But I found myself laughing every time Jackie Gleason said anything.
Oh my gosh. Jackie Gleason was the most brilliant person in this movie.
He was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a comedic genius, and all you need is a big...
And a lot of this is improv, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
From what I was reading the trivia?
Yeah, according to the trivia, he improvs a lot of his lines. I think you just give that guy a dumb partner. In this case, his son. In The Honeymooners, it's Norton. In everything he's ever done, you've got somebody like that to play off of, and he's mm-hmm. brilliant.
But though, you know, everybody kind of had a sidekick, right? I mean, yep. Even his buddy driving the truck had the dog. Burt Reynolds had Sally Field.
right.
You know, you look through the movie and everybody, the big tall guy had his, you know, Paul Williams dwarf mini-me.
His son, yeah. It was the two father-son setup.
Right.
In this movie, for sure. Directed by famed stuntman Hal Needham. Who recently put out a book that's really interesting, I hear. He is known to be, he's the stuntman for John Wayne. He's done more stunts than anybody. He did some really dangerous stuff. He invented countless stunts that are still used in films today. And this was his little offshoot to direct stuff. He also did Cannonball Run and some other stuff with Reynolds. He wrote the story along with Robert L. Levy and three other dudes. Stars Burt Reynolds, Sally Field, Jerry Reed, and a whole bunch more. We'll get into that in a minute. Despite much success, Reynolds' fiancés were bad. What? Oh,
finances.
Not his fiancés.
Both, I agree.
You know, Lonnie Anderson, real bad.
Lonnie Anderson was bad.
Bad fiancés.
Due in part to an extravagant lifestyle, a messy divorce with Lonnie Anderson, and a failed investment in many, many properties, including some Florida restaurant chains. Consequently, in 1996, Reynolds filed for bankruptcy. The filing was under Chapter 11, from which Reynolds emerged 2 years later. He continues to struggle to this day. But we're looking at the man in his mustachioed, sweaty high point of his career, right? Like, this is when things were kicking for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when your movie does almost as well as Star Wars that year, that's a big freaking deal.
It's an incredible deal.
Yep.
Especially if your movie sucks.
Yep.
Sorry.
You know, it isn't good. You can't watch this and go, oh my gosh, an American classic. You don't watch like the way you'd watch like Taxi Driver or something, mm-hmm. where you go, man, this is still relevant. This is still something. It isn't any of those things, but it has a lot of throwaway good times in it. And
fantastic times.
I kind of had fun.
That's the thing I love about all these trucker movies. It's a life I'll never get to live, hopefully.
Right.
And, yeah, it's just, you know, people just doing their thing. Their American dream is just making it, you know, just making it from day to day.
Yeah. There's an adventure in that, right? Yes, right.
Yeah. Plus, donations. Road trips are awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Now taking donations to the Make Brian Dunaway a Trucker Fund.
Make me hobo trucker. I can't wait.
I know that there are people listening to this episode who have had experience in trucking. We'd love to hear from you. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. Yeah. The movie made the Pontiac Trans Am a superstar. Trans Am sales jumped from 68,745 units in 1977 to 93,341 in 78. And 1 year later, that number jumped to 117,000 units sold. I remember anybody who was anybody at that time thought the only cool car ever made was a Trans Am. That was huge.
I want one now, man. After watching this last night, I'm like, this car is amazing. It handles way better than any of the cop cars.
The T-roof. And
goes faster.
And it can drive through the grimiest crap and be shiny the very next time you see it. Mm-hmm.
Didn't it the Firebird looked pretty badass? Like, there was some cool
That flaming chicken on the hood was really good.
I actually like that. You laughed. I love that flaming chicken.
My favorite car period is 1979 Trans Am.
Is it really?
Old 6.6. Oh my god,
really?
I love that car. Yeah,
really, really, really.
That's like the car, like if you bury me in a car when I die, it needs to
Hell
be
no.
a 1979 Trans Am.
I'm not taking that off the market for you.
Yeah. Pass that down to somebody. I would love, yeah. I mean, they're gas hogs. They're, you know, the styling doesn't really hold up, but man, that was a muscle car.
But I got to say, I love the car. It's my favorite car. Every time I've ever gotten to drive one, briefly owned one, just amazing, amazing car. But this movie didn't have anything to do with that love for me at all. I mean, no connection at all.
Mm.
Really?
Really,
yeah. No connection.
Right. Well, sure bumped sales for everybody else in 77, which is surprising to me. It's an interesting piece of product placement. From what I could read, Pontiac donated the cars, not only this, but the cop car that got destroyed and two others that eventually they would use enough parts from these three destroyed cars to build one that would run still while Jackie Gleason would still try to drive that thing around near the end.
And then they made it into the General Lee.
It's not the way that product placement works today, where you're paying huge sums of money to show off a certain kind of car or whatever. But I gotta wonder about the Coors beer deal. Like,
Coors was everywhere in this movie,
and treating it like cross state contraband, and you know,
right.
I felt like it should have been cocaine or something. That was weird.
It's interstate weird. Trafficking. It was a different time. This is 1977.
It was before microbrews and, you know, before fat tire and all this.
It's still the case that people run alcohol in the United States. You know, there are all kinds of state laws about bringing wine from states into other states. And and certainly, I mean, Scott, you live in Utah. You know very well it's completely illegal to bring alcohol into Utah from other states.
Yeah, you can't bring out of state
any alcoholic
licensed
beverage.
Right, Randy? Right, Randy? Right. Oh. Yeah. Sorry, Randy would know. Anyway,
there's anybody else 2011, yeah.
Was anybody else impressed with the level? Okay, everybody else, all the other states up until Georgia kind of sucked it, but Georgia had the most sophisticated troopers and police of any state.
Yep.
I mean, they had like helicopters.
That was pretty insane. Pretty impressive. Yeah. Anyone from Georgia want to kind of clarify that? Please do. But for the record, just real quick, for the record, you can get alcohol in Utah. You just can't drive it over the border without a license. That's all. So it's not like they keep it all out and deflect it. There are liquor stores here, but you have to.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But the state maintains complete control over the sales in the state.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's a.
For what? That.
Didn't but that's easy. You just put it in the trunk.
Yeah, we had that old law where you had to be "quote unquote" a member of a club to drink certain kinds of alcohol, and so you would. So restaurants would become clubs, basically. Or if you had a place that was just a sports bar, you would have to say, "All right, we're so and so sports bar and club," and then membership was as easy as going in there and saying, "Oh, hey, you want a table? Sweet, you're a member of the club." I mean, it was a dumb law.
We have stupid laws like that here. Like one of them is, you can't sell beer and liquor in the same stores because you can sell liquor during certain times, but not beer. I'm like,
interesting.
It's alcohol. What the crap does it matter? So we've got stores where you literally have to go in one side to buy wine or liquor. I'm sorry, not wine, because wine is actually in the beer
section. Well, it's the hard versus the light, right? I mean,
the liquor, and then, but you can get just as drunk on all the other stuff. But yeah, I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, weird old laws. But
anyway. You also can't go. You can't have liquor where they go bottomless at strip joints. It's true.
That's true. That's true, right. In Texas too.
Why?
True
and, Texas too? And Colorado.
Really? I mean, it's just crazy.
Vaginas and hard alcohol don't mix.
No. Right.
You can bring your own.
No, but you can bring your own. That's the weird thing.
Bring your own vagina or bring your own drink?
Yes. Yes and both. Yes. If you bring one of them that gets in free, if you bring the other one.
I am dependent.
Yeah. That's really weird.
This whole discussion. Wait, have we heard Scott Fletcher? Yes. This whole discussion comes from the question about the setup here. Why in the world is this even a deal?
Right.
This taking Coors, and I guess it actually is the case that Coors used to only be sold west of the Mississippi, and they're just playing on that. But it's really what's really strange to me is that they're not hauling this stuff to Atlanta to make a big profit.
Right.
They're hauling it because some guy likes the taste of Coors and he's having a huge party.
Yeah.
They're actually hauling it because he's trying to get him caught.
Mm. Oh, right.
Because that's the opening scene.
That was the bet. That was the bet. Yeah.
That was the bet. Well, they want the bandit gets caught every time this guy tries to get truckers in trouble, and that's what he does. He's not going to pay up any money.
And it's completely an unnecessary plot point, because you could set up the film that he's just got to haul this stuff, you know, for whatever other reason, haul this illegal stuff from one side to the other. It doesn't have to be based on a bet. Doesn't have to be based on any of that stuff. You know, it seemed like it was an unnecessarily created plot point.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Was a guilty pleasure for Alfred Hitchcock, according to his daughter Patricia.
Oh no!
Yeah, she has gone on record to say, "Yeah, my dad totally dug this movie."
Oh.
Funny. but that's kind of like finding out.
I can't think of Alfred Hitchcock watching this. I really can't.
It's kind of like finding out Queen Elizabeth likes to play pinball or something, you know? It's just a thing. Right. It's a weird thing that seems totally out of their thing that they would like to do or should do, you know? Or it's like finding out Tarantino really likes the direct-to-home video CGI Barbie movies or something.
Okay, that's now it. I'm leaving strict instructions for my family not to reveal, after I die, not to reveal the fact that I like the Spice Girls. I'm putting that right now.
There you go.
Making them sign an agreement not to reveal that information.
All right, we won't do it either. Nobody's listening, so don't worry about it.
Spice World, man, that is an awesome, awesome film.
Spice World, I've never seen.
What?
No, never seen it. What? Isn't it kind of like Hard Day's Night for Spice Girls?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Almost shot for shot, really.
Really weird. I didn't know that.
Well, not truly, you know, shot for shot.
Sure.
It is their Hard Day's Night. It is their biographical / comical fictional thing. Yeah.
Here's something else I noticed about this movie. This movie left me with this
meatloaf
sense.
What was that? You just
was meatloaf
in there? In their Ibit, just meatloaf.
Wait, meatloaf's in there. He's in that movie.
He's in Spice
World. He's in the film.
Holy shite!
Yeah.
Okay,
I think he's driving the bus, if I remember. But
I gotta watch.
That sounds like a euphemism. Yeah. Meatloaf is driving the bus.
Yeah, it does.
It actually sounds like something you'd say over the sea. Meatloaf driving that bus.
Come on back.
Yeah. Come back.
Back into the film we're actually talking about.
I cannot wait to play some clips. There's some. Oh, man, this movie was clip heaven for me.
Yeah,
it was.
I've noticed something when I came away from the movie. One of my thoughts was, oh my gosh, I live in a world where hardly anyone is named Bert anymore. I know that seems like a weird thing, but do you know any Berts? I don't know a single Bert.
No, I don't even know any derivatives of Bert, like Herberts or,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like Q-Bert, Bert and Ernie.
Bert and Ernie, exactly. It's a very weird
Bert Lancaster.
Yeah.
Weird name.
Yeah, but
he kind of owns it. He is the quintessential Bert.
Yep, I'll give him that. Hey, Bert.
Hey, Bert.
Hey, Bert. Hey, Bert. Buford T. Justice, on the other hand, is the greatest name for a sheriff in the history of film.
And
I'm not afraid to say
name,
it.
Right?
Is it? Oh, yeah, right. It's based on a real name. Okay, according to the trivia, Burt Reynolds' dad was the model for the character because he was some cop in the South. But it was his buddy who was named Buford T. Justice.
Yeah.
And I thought when I read that, no, nobody's name is Buford T. Justice and he's a cop.
Yeah, right? Because that would be too comical.
Yeah, what do you, like, Billy Von Chef is the guy making our food tonight.
I used to work with a guy who did who designed websites, and his name was Jeff Webb.
Oh, no way. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah,
there's a veterinarian whose last name is, Wolf, I think.
Oh, really? Well,
nearby cool. Here, yeah.
See, I could see that. When I used to make penises for a living, I was Johnson, right. So that all worked out.
Yeah, right. And my dentist is Bob Teeth.
Shut up.
No, he's not. I'm kidding.
Bob Moeller.
Bob Teeth. How you going, Bob Teeth?
That would be the greatest thing ever, but instead, Buford T. Justice will remain the greatest thing ever. So, yeah, we talked about the trucker genre. That whole thing just, I don't know, it's just weird. I don't know where it went.
Yeah, while we're talking about names, we'll get off names. Characters' names of Little Enos and Big Enos. That is just...
And the way they always wore matching suits and stuff.
Yeah.
They were
Enos
great.
Sounds too much like penis. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was thinking anus.
That too.
Little Enos. Enos.
Anyway, look at Little Enos and Big Enos.
Well, so hold on. Quick Ibbit moment here. So music. Little guy. What's his name again?
Paul Williams.
What is his deal? Country? What is he?
Rainbow Connection is probably the song that...
Rainbow Connection.
Because he's in the Muppet movie, a couple of them.
Well, he wrote that song. Oh. I got to look this up and make sure I'm not confusing Paul Williams with Andy Williams. But yeah. Paul Williams was really big on the game show circuit in the 70s. Like, he was on Hollywood Squares and Match Game.
That's
but he was
where
also
I remember from. That's,
musician. That's yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Hollywood Squares connection.
He's still around. Guy's still kicking it. I don't know. Something about him I like. And I remember seeing him in a lot of these kind of movies.
Yes.
Dude, what played Cletus? Jerry Reed. He's also a musician. Yeah. Country guy.
Yeah. He's the one who wrote the song, right?
Yeah. I think so. The Bandit song.
Yeah.
Originally was going to be the Bandit, but then they said, nope, Burt Reynolds. And then
they said, wait till three.
Wait till three, and then we'll really poop this thing up and put you
and
in
yes,
it.
Just to confirm, it is Paul Williams who wrote Rainbow Connection and a bunch of songs by the Carpenters. And
Ibbit, can you sing Rainbow Connection just a few bars, just a
Why
few lines?
Why are there so many songs about rainbows?
That's pretty good.
Well, that was dang good.
He's in Ishtar, which we've talked about and we'll never see, but... he's in many things.
And the boy in the plastic football.
You know what? He looks all right.
Oh. Yeah, looking at him here. Actually looks better now than he did in the 70s with that weird stage boy haircut.
Yeah, when he was in like his 20s and 30s. It's weird.
Yes.
And he looks so much better now. But he was boy in the plastic football. Oh, no, he wasn't. John Travolta was the boy.
I was going to say John Travolta was the boy in the plastic bubble.
He was the boy outside the plastic bubble.
Right.
You're in a bubble. Rainbow Connection.
I like him. All right, I wanted to find out why some people call cops smokies, so I did a little research.
Oh,
okay.
The term from the CB radio fad of the 70s, this is where this comes from. See bear above, you could actually look more, because bear is part of it. Yeah. It's smoky bears is what they were referring to them. That's they belong to a highway patrol or state police agency in the U.S. Generally, those are the guys that would be referred to as smoky bears.
Yeah.
And they didn't really, I couldn't find much in the way of, why they call them Smokey Bears? Like, were they
because Smokey the Bear wears a hat that you know is very very similar to what you're.
I thought it was because they were all hairy, and that's what that's that term for homosexuals that like hairy men.
There's also the fact
eight leaps of logic.
All right,
it's like the Kevin Bacon game of logic.
Right.
Well, it was as good as Randy's. He's all like, Smokey the Bear wears uniform. Cops wear uniform.
No, he wears. It's the hat. It's the damn hat.
Right. It's the Smokey and the Bandit hat, or the Smokey the Bear hat. Yeah.
And also the fact that you know a bear is an awesome predator.
They call them liver bugs because the Indian used to cry during the 70s during that commercial.
Bugs get in your eyes and they hurt your eyes.
Listen. We have some bears, the gay kind of bears that listen to the show.
Yeah,
and so I would like them to key in on this.
I think
and tell
we probably
us.
Also have some real, you know, out in nature kind of bears who listen to the show.
Yeah, I know.
Brown bears, black bears, grizzly bears, Kodiak,
polar occasionally.
You know what? This is a really good movie. Why are we getting all off subject?
It's I don't know. It's not really
it
good. It's
not
really
good.
Good
at all.
It's really fun. It's not really good.
You cannot tell me that scene where after Jerry Reed gets beat up in the bar and leaves and that long shot of him just dealing with it is not the most just a wonderful piece of
you. You cannot tell me that this film wasn't made from a Mad Libs card where where the person writing it was like, all right, what we have a blank here. Let's fill in. All right, Coors beer. We have another blank here. How about bride on her wedding day? Okay, fill that right there. Yeah, bride on her wedding day. It's going to be – what is it? What is it for? Oh, my gosh, it's who he meets on the road. That's hysterical.
Oh, and where's she going to be? Where's she going? What wedding is she going to? Oh, the cop that's chasing her son, son. Yes, yeah. Junior.
It's, just, it's a Mad Libs plot. Yeah. It really is.
It's goofy as hell.
Or as I call him, Junior Hat Holder.
Yep, I got an early trope. So I really miss this. They used to do it a lot in old movies, but back to the father-son combos. This movie had two sets.
More than two. There were... Three was okay. There was Enos's,
yeah,
right?
Got them.
The two
big
Enos.
And little Enos.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were, I guess it wasn't father son though. Those everybody was related in the highway patrol because the mayor's son was that crazy bug eyed cop. That was driving.
Oh, yeah. There's it. Yeah. You're right. There's a bit, some of that's a bit extended, but yes. But specifically for me, it's all father son. The son is this understudy to the dumb way the dad acts, and I don't know. It's a very specific thing to that era.
Yeah,
yeah,
I liked it.
I miss it. I like it a lot. Made me want to watch Cannonball Run, something fierce. So I think we ought to put that on our list. Because I
was waiting for the spinoff film for Little Beaver.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'd like to know. I knew you'd probably do this in the clip some, but I would like to know how many different names Jackie Gleason. Well, call people, and also how many different names he used for the word penis.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I got a lot of them.
Yeah, I remember this very strong memory of being a kid, 7 or 8 years old, and hearing my parents say, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe Jackie Gleason did this role."
Yeah.
He used to be on the Honeymooners and was so clean and this and that, and now he's in this. What I don't think was this movie R when it released. I don't even know. I don't think so. Could it?
Yeah, it had to be.
There were no F words though.
It was about hauling beer across state lines in the 70s.
Yeah, we'd probably find out. But anyway, my point is they were so incensed by other adults in my family's circle, like the aunts and uncles. I just remember dinners where I would hear them saying, "Oh, kind of the equivalent of saying he jumped the shark, like he's really sold out."
Yeah. But you know what? This was a good shift because this marked, you know, kind of that anti-culture that had kind of been floating around a little bit. So I was glad to see Jackie Gleason kind of getting this kind of role.
PG, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. It's PG.
Is it re-rated when it was released on video?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm trying to find a history on it. But I can tell you that 3 was R. Which is rare. You don't usually. It's the other way around. They dumb something down like Police Academy's rated R for two movies, and then suddenly it goes super soft PG.
It usually now though, usually just unrated. It's like we're not even going to bother rating it. What is this?
Right.
3. We're not even going to bother rating it.
What is this 3? What are we on? I love that idea. So let's see. Smoking the Bandit 2. I'm just trying to find this here. Was 2 R? No, PG also. I don't know. Freaking whatever. Another trope. Car that is falling apart the entire movie and the inability for people to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles did that to comedic effect. This movie did it. Lots of movies do it. They just keep it. The roof gets sawed off every time.
Oh, best car stunt I've ever seen in my life.
Which one?
Right there.
The
pulling the roof off the car.
That was really good.
I realized that they had perfectly prepped it and everything. That roof was just barely there. But man, the two people in driving the car had to have been just peeing all over those seats.
How come every is so funny? Every stunt driver you see during this type, and even more recently, I mean, every time there's a stunt driver or anything, their hair is always way more bouffant than the actor.
Right. Because they're – why do they do that? That's funny.
They don't kind of make it. They don't kind of try to comment. I know it's probably a wig, but I mean, it's always just like super
bouffant.
It's
way bigger, So when you'd see James Bond jumping off of something, the stunt James Bond would have like a big old thick head of hair.
I know it. What's wrong with this hair?
That's really weird. I like that. Great quote. By the way, I found this quote from the Cannonball Run thing on IMDb. It's got kind of nothing to do with this movie. But I love – this is the entire description of Cannonball Run 2. the original characters from the first Cannonball movie race across the country once more in various cars and trucks.
Wow.
And this time in various cars or trucks.
Yep.
This time with a two at the end.
Most obvious trope of the film, though. Cops are always stupid.
Yes.
Comes up on the show, but occasionally.
Well, and you know, though, Jackie Gleason's character for sure. But then you've got some of the other cops that they run into along the way that Jackie Gleason says, no, keep away, he's mine. And you know, those cops kind of have potential to not be, you know, jumping all over each other. I realize a lot of them drive into creeks.
They all drive over
broken bridges.
Yeah, way over the broken bridge. Like, hello? You're halfway over.
They can go all, right.
Oh, my gosh. So am I wrong in this statement? This is the basis. This movie is the basis for Dukes of Hazzard.
Got to be. I mean,
don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. If not, I mean, they totally stole a lot.
In a way, it's like saying, all right, we're going to do a TV version of this show, which, by the way, later in the 90s, there were Smokey and the Bandit shows. There were TV movies, and they were terrible.
Excuse you.
Yeah. Suck that right in.
When was there a naked cop?
Never.
What? I'm looking through the credits, and it's and some male pape gets credit of nude Smokey, uncredited.
Smokey. What? Oh, dude, is it the one that came out of the? He's not the guy with the towel on his crotch when they busted him at the Foxy Lady.
Motorhome prostitution.
Right, that ring that apparently is all happening. Stupid. That kind of, well, that's the other thing. Can we have more theme truckers? Like,
yeah.
Right.
Foxy Lady.
Theme truckers. That's a trope.
It's totally a trope. In fact, take this. Take that trope sound.
Oh, and I'll give you another one.
Oh, my gosh. What do you got?
Do we have to knock over the motorcycles like they're dominoes in every movie like this? Anytime there are motorcycles, right, they're all going over. You would think the motorcycle riders would just stop parking like that.
That's a good one, Randy. Seriously. Oh.
The only thing that was missing was all the motors, all the bikers running out of the restaurant as Jerry Reed was driving over with their hands on their heads going, oh, no, no, my bike. Oh.
No, no, no. I'm glad they didn't do that because I was worried they were going to do that. Yeah. Also,
that would have made this movie horrible.
Yeah.
Interesting fact I did not know until I was going through the cast on IMDb. I'm doing the extended list. John Snyder. That's right. Dukes of Hazzard. John Snyder was a cowboy extra in a crowd scene.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Wow.
Which is ironic because is it Lonnie Anderson? Shoot. So anyway, I got down this path. You do this sometimes on IMDb, and then you go it extends out to the rest of the internet, and you start finding all these connections. Somehow, John Snyder married somebody in this movie also later on when he was popular, and then divorced them. Huh. Or something. So there were more like Dukes of Hazzard connections than we cared to shake a stick
there
at.
There are so many. And I'm looking right now, I'm looking at Sonny Schroyer, who was the motorcycle cop. And I kept thinking he looks really familiar. He was on the Dukes of Hazzard during 1979. Was that when Coy and Vance was in? Was he Coy or Vance?
No, Coy and Vance were later. That was like the
80s. He was Enos Straight in the Dukes of Hazzard in Hollywood movie. That's who he was.
Okay. Sign me up then.
Weird.
I watch your weird ass movie. Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard feels like they kind of said, unlike MASH. Okay, MASH. Here's a movie, MASH, and we're gonna take those characters and we're gonna do a good TV show about it. It's like they said, hey, let's do that, and someone said, nope, we don't want to sell the rights. Well, all right, we'll make up our own Hicktown jokey, freaking awesome car, keep away from the sheriff at all costs. Boss Hog show.
The movie and the TV show may not be father and son, but they're certainly married cousins.
Yeah, they're incestuous cousins. How about that? I like that.
I knew he looked familiar. He was Enos in the TV series Enos, that was the spinoff from
right. I remember that show. Yeah, yeah, that's a good call.
Wow. Weird. You're right.
Wasn't he the one that was in love with Daisy? Oh man, I'm getting way too far into lore. See, now last week we found out soap. Is Ibbitt's thing.
Dukes of Hazzard is Dunaway's.
Apparently it's mine.
I love it. I wish Dukes of Hazzard. I wish that whole series would be up on streaming. I'd watch all of it. I'd even watch the Coy and Vance crap.
I would do. Totally. Yeah, I would actually prefer to watch the Coy and Vance crap.
Yeah. My favorite thing of Dukes of Hazzard is when they were jumping over a ravine and the camera would pause because you weren't sure they were going to make it. And the guy would go, I don't know if Don Duke like boys are going to burp a deer. And that just, I'd like, love that.
It's the creek without a paddle.
And I've not seen either of those Dukes of Hazzard movies at all.
And apparently there is always one still in every jump over a creek. There's a spot where you can stop it that makes it look like there ain't no way that car is going to make it over that thing.
Right. Right. But, you know, welded doors and Confederate flag on the roof. And it's good times, man. Love that stuff. All right. That's all I got, really, for the core of this film. Do you guys, anything else you want to bring to the table? Any other tropes? Any other goodies?
Well, here's a couple interesting pieces of trivia about Burt Reynolds. He was almost John McClane.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine that?
Weird.
And he turned down the role of John McClane in Die Hard, and he turned down the role of Han Solo in Star Wars.
Wow. Just think of what our destiny, how different our destinies would be.
There's an alternate universe out there where Burt Reynolds was Han Solo.
He was. And can you see him chewing that gum?
Talking to Greedo?
Yeah, no.
Saying yippee-ki-yay out between that mustache. And
right.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Exactly. I captured that dumb laugh. I hate it.
I love his laugh.
I hate it. It's terrible. Shouldn't happen. Shouldn't be in a movie. But anyway, you got anything else? You got anything else you want to?
Oh, I always thought it was the only thing that kind of took me out of the movie, almost the entire movie, the thing that was just a glaringly technical issue, was the fact that they set up right at the beginning with the rule saying, okay, we're going to start the basement with the CB channels with one, and we're going to do odd numbers. Every time we stop talking to each other, we go to the next one up.
Right.
Okay, that's fine as long as just Jerry and him are speaking. But people are constantly listening, except for the cops. The cops are the only ones that can't get it.
Right.
Everybody else.
They all knew the code.
They all knew the code every time.
And that's a good. I didn't think about that. You ruined it for me. You ruined the movie.
Ruined it for me.
You've urinated on my cake.
I'm sorry.
I've got an interesting bit of trivia. I at one point read some of the Spencer books by Robert B. Parker. Mm.
And, Spencer, that the show's based on.
Spencer for Hire?
Yeah.
And I decided at one point several years ago I was going to get all the audiobooks and listen to them while I had a job that required a lot of traveling. And so I started collecting the audiobooks, and a lot of them are read by Joe Mantegna, which makes sense. But many of the Spencer audiobooks are read by Burt Reynolds. I kid you not.
Weird.
Wow.
And he does a really good job, surprisingly good job.
He's got a great Saturday Night Lives. Who's that?
Norm MacDonald.
Norm.
Oh, good old Norm there. He's a wiener dog. And a
I love
right, that's the only. That's the visualization I have of Burt Reynolds reading is Norm MacDonald's impersonation of Burt Reynolds.
For me, it's Burt Reynolds in the cowboy boots and his underwear and a cowboy hat, all covered in Vaseline and striptease. That's how I think of him now.
Oh my gosh!
That was a big comeback for him because he went bankrupt and Boogie Nights. Yeah, although I still haven't seen all of Boogie Nights. I've seen scenes with him, but never that whole movie.
Well, you can't force.
No, I just haven't gotten around. I just the opportunity hasn't afforded itself. I'll see scenes in some clip show, and I'll go, oh yeah, I need to watch that finally, just so I can say I saw it, and I just haven't seen it.
Done it there.
Boogie Nights. Baby. All right. Well, let's do some clippage. We have much of it, and I will start with this.
And that means you, dumb cowboy. You know, trucking Coors beer east of Texas is bootlegging. This here's Georgia, son.
Okay, so that confirms Georgia. What you guys are saying. You can't go east of Texas.
Yeah, this is the Hawaiian trucker that made me think of Randy immediately with his Hawaiian-looking shirt.
And then east of Texas. Mm. All those things came together for you. Mm. Understood. How about a weird comment? Oh, no.
There were so many good one-liners in this movie. I just don't know how you caught them all.
Here it is.
Son of a bitch.
Any guy that would paint his truck like this would go to a minister's funeral dressed in feathers.
Explain.
Wow.
I explain to you right now. That's Jackie Gleason improvising.
No, that's Enos. That's Enos.
Was that Enos?
That's Enos Jr. Yeah. and Sr. So just real quick, one more time. The euphemism that he's trying to do. What is this?
Son of a bitch.
Any guy that would paint his truck like this would go to a minister's funeral dressed in feathers.
I still don't get it. I just played it again.
I think it's hysterical.
I don't get it.
I think it's something you never do is go to a minister's funeral dressed in feathers.
But why?
You just don't.
If you've seen it once, you've seen it a million times.
I understand
and
things
it's
like
always wrong.
I understand things like, oh, you're that goes over as good as a fart in church, or
You're obviously drunk if you show up with some feathers.
You're sweating more than a hooker in church. I get that. But feathers? I don't get it.
I don't know.
All right.
Really weird.
Once again, I'm going to chalk that up to improv. I think he did some improv too, just failed. Just not as good as Jackie Gleason.
All right. Well, here's the dumb laugh.
That's a great laugh. I love that laugh.
Hate it. He's the Eddie Murphy of the 70s, dude, with his dumb laugh. Let's do it one more time just so I can hate it more. This is so fake.
It really
does come across as
not real.
Is it not real?
Nope.
I'm not going to say anything because I had to stop laughing around one of my friends because I used to kind of laugh like that. And
really?
He would always say, and he would call me out on it all the time. And I'm like, okay, fine.
So I can't hear you doing that.
Oh, I used to do it.
Do it now. Oh my gosh.
I get called out on the Eddie Murphy laugh all the time. And I don't even really know that I'm doing it.
I don't notice you doing that.
Funny.
I'm trying to think if you've ever done that.
Gumby, damn it.
Donkey.
All right. Extra fat comment.
Oh, I love your suits. They must be a bitch getting a size 68 extra fat.
Ah.
Wow.
Take that, Enos Jr.
Enos. Little Enos.
Little Enos.
He's Enos.
See, there are a lot of kind of crassy kind of comments in this movie, and I captured like this one.
Chicken shit money.
I love that.
Chicken shit money. But also, there's some things that there's some cussing that I just don't understand what they are. Like, I remember I wrote down one. I think Jackie Gleason said it. Let me see. It was something like I think it was like a tit turd. I'm like, what's a tit turd?
Right. Movies full of these, and they're all good.
Weird. Kodak baby. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I just want to hear one. Time.
Chicken shit money.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
I know. Doesn't make sense.
That's the money you use to go buy chicken shit, and you don't get a lot of it.
Oh, right. And you need to fertilize something. I got you.
Yeah, but if you weren't the voice of reason, sheesh.
This movie just got a whole lot better for me.
Why Burt Reynolds wants to run beer?
What the hell do we want to do with Texas farm and haul beer back here? What is that?
For the good old American life. For the money, for the glory, and for the fun. Mostly for the money.
For the glory, for the fun.
Hey, for the fun.
Lonnie Anderson is hot. Yeah, although, actually, during this time, he was going after Sally Field, which is such a weird pairing to me.
It is, because it's the classic brunette versus blonde battle. So,
well, partly that, but also she's just so, like, Sally Field is so deliberate in everything she says. She's so, even in this movie, she's just so, well, I believe it's a different kind of acting. It's kind of on stage acting.
It is.
And I don't mind it. I think she's fine in many things she's in, but I don't know. I found her.
Except for
Mrs.
Doubtfire.
She's so darn cute in this movie.
She's really cute. Adorable. Yeah.
She had her day, man. She looks great today, and I can't tell if she's had much work done, to be honest. I think she looks pretty damn good for a 70-something-year-old, you know, gidget. All right. Here is some of that music we like.
Westbound and down, 18-wheeler rolling. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
So is that Cletus singing that?
That's Jerry Reed.
I really like his sound. I'm not gonna lie.
I do like how they have the two versions of that song depending on which direction he's traveling.
Exactly, because when I first watched it, I'm like, you don't go westbound and down, you go eastbound and down. What is he talking about?
It's like directional dependent music.
Yeah, and they changed the lyrics to like, gotta go get that Coors beer.
You
know,
yeah.
Like, wow.
Wait, I don't know if it's changed exactly the whole story.
It's like having the rooster from the Disney Robin Hood movie follow you around.
Right.
It's kind of like change the lyrics.
Jerry Reed is the Greek chorus.
Yeah. Or the guy in the Monty Python movie going, brave, brave Sir Robin, and tells the whole story about that guy. It's great.
Yeah.
There's not enough of this in our modern times of songs that sing the story that is going on.
I agree. What do you think, Randy? You were about to say
I just knew Brian Dunaway was going to say that because it's awesome. Yeah. And he always notices that fact. Like, well, I mean, all movies like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, Convoy was absolute like that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We got a great big one.
Yeah, we got a great big one.
times have changed, and how do you know that? Because back then, Jackie Gleason, beloved, famed comedy actor Jackie Gleason could say things like this.
Happens every time one of those dancers start poontanging around with those show folk fags.
Wow.
Wow.
I like that you can use poontang as a verb.
Poontanging around with those something F-word, other F-word. Like, oh, man. Jackie Gleason, Grandpa, well, what are you
know,
doing?
And what makes me even happier is the fact that you remember aunts and parents being so freaked out by this. I love the fact that in later in his career that he could do that.
Oh, yeah. They were, right? They were totally freaked out.
Yeah.
Very vivid memory for me that they just, that movie. I can't believe what they can get away with today.
Because you know they were all prim and proper, like, oh, we're going to go see the new Jackie Gleason movie. He's going to be so good and professional, and he's going to say, oh, to the moon, and, you know.
Strange expectations.
That. Yeah.
All right. Taking a 10-100.
Yeah.
This is how they distinguish between taking a pee and taking a dump.
That was such a stretch.
It's a little weird. Here it is.
He's taking a 10-100.
Well, at least it's better than 10-200.
Well, at least it's better than... She's just got such a... Oh, I'm on the stage now, and I'm going to act and project my voice. Hello, everyone.
Look at my calves.
Whatever. In her prime, she was kind of hot.
She was cute. I forgive a lot because she was cute back in the day. She's still, mm-hmm. You know, handsome lady.
I thought she did a good job in this movie.
Yeah, she's good.
But I see what you're saying, because there were noticeable times where she was out of character... reacting to something that was happening in the making of the film that you could kind of see, mm-hmm. and you could see the reaction was not the Carrie, the frog. It was mm-hmm. the Sally Field.
Yep.
Totally.
The Sally Field is how we like to refer to her.
Sally Field.
Here is some trucker nonsense.
I'm the brother of a truck driving mother. Boogity, 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 boogity.
I'm totally not high.
That's right.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
Boogity, boogity.
You are like a frog, and here's how.
Frog.
Wait.
Go back to boogity boogity boogity.
I'm the brother of a truck driving mother. Boogity 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 boogity.
So didn't you just reference a huge meme? Like there's a preacher that gave a prayer before some car racing event earlier this year where he ended with boogity boogity boogity.
No, I don't know.
Maybe he was a big fan.
I don't know. Is that what that is? I don't know.
I'm just saying. I don't know. This thing went around for a
You're
few
all
days.
Going to hell. Boogity, boogity, boogity.
I don't remember this at all. I missed it. That's kind of like how I was 6 months late on the double rainbow guy.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I missed that forever. Not. I don't know how I missed that. I still don't get it.
I'll find that video and send it to you after the show.
The boogity, boogity?
Double rainbow?
Yeah.
No, yeah. I've seen double rainbow. Hey, Stig's online. All right. You are like a frog.
Frog.
Why?
Because you're always hopping around, and you're kind of cute like a frog, and I'd like to jump you.
Whoa.
That was a great little ending there.
And I like to have sex with frogs.
Oh, man.
Oh, that is too funny. I feel like a lot of these scenes were just improv'd. Because it's like, it was a lot of pause there. Frog, mm-hmm. call her frog.
Yeah.
I felt that the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that in movies, so maybe that's why I was having fun. Because I didn't feel like a lot of this was too scripted. Felt like they had a good time with it.
Did any of y'all really understand? I don't want to jump too much here, but didn't you guys understand that the reason why Burt Reynolds was getting a car was so that he could run interference for the truck driver before halfway through the movie? Because
I understood it when he made them buy him the car, which I thought was way excessive.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't, like, I understood that he was wanting to run out in front of the truck. I mean, it was understandable.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, I got it. When he was saying I totally got it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ibbot? Is it just me?
He's blocking. He called it blocking for him, right? Wasn't
that funny? Because it's not till about three quarters or almost all the way through this thing that the danger of the fact that they're actually running alcohol becomes a problem. Like, the police, if they catch Burt Reynolds, it's because he's doing all this crap and leading him around and causing accidents and all this stuff, not because he's running alcohol. And so the only time that actually becomes a danger is later in the film when, oh, he actually does distract a cop from the truck.
Yeah, it's a weird idea, but I got it. I understand what they were doing.
Whatever, Possum Pecker.
I would hate to be what's-his-name his dog, though. That would suck. All right, totally. Yelling justice.
Did you say you are a sheriff?
That's a big Ken Ford. This is Sheriff Buford D. Justice of Texas.
Oh my gosh.
Texas.
Blow his spleen out of his nose.
Right? Spraying everybody around him when he talks in this film.
Love it.
Here's another great line from Buford T., one of my favorites.
Did you see that? They went right through our roadblock.
You some bitches couldn't close an umbrella.
That's a good one.
That is a good
can
one.
We just listen to, can we just listen to clips like that for 30 minutes?
I know. Yeah, really. Well, I got
that's
a lot.
Movie, yeah.
I got a lot. Like this one about the Diablo sandwich.
Let me have a Diablo sandwich of Dr. Pepper. Make it fast. I'm in a goddamn hurry.
I love it.
I can I love see it. Mom and aunt's all cringing now. Ooh.
I love it that he's chasing Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds is sitting at that bar right next to him as he's ordering that. And the look on Burt Reynolds' face is just classic. Yeah. It's just,
it is.
I got nothing in the world to worry about. Look.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I couldn't watch that whole scene because all I could think was, how in the world did he get two burgers and a tea for like a dollar and a half?
I know, dude. I hate that in movies where I'm reminded how cheap things used to be. It's like, oh, yeah. Man. But according to the trivia, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but supposedly that was not a scene they intended to be in the film. And Gleason, it was his idea. He said, you know what? We ought to do this thing where we meet up and I don't know it's him.
I think it was a great scene because I hadn't thought about the fact that he did not really wouldn't recognize him if he saw him.
Yep.
I didn't really think about that. And I'm like, wow. I mean, when he's talking to him, I'm thinking that's certainly going to blow his cover. But it really brought the level of the character to a new level.
You had me at blow his cover butt.
Blow his cover butt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Have a smooth ride, Mr. Bandit.
Right. Have a smooth ride, Mr. Bandit.
I'll just go ahead and let him repeat me saying it.
Right.
As you can see, I couldn't stop. There's like little quips everywhere. It was hard for me to stop recording. You came from what? I can't say this, but I don't remember this one.
There's no way that you could come from my loins.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go home and smack your mama because she's obviously sleeping around. I loved that.
Yeah, oh, that's funny. I captured that as well.
Soon as I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is punch your mama in the mouth.
That's a joke. That's a joke.
To the moon. Aha. Wink, wink at the audience.
What were you saying, Randy?
That's just a joke you don't make anymore.
It's no, kinda, you can't.
You can't. No.
Really date, you don't hear Tom Hanks movie. Say that. And
not even Jackie Gleason. Who do we have today like him? Do we have someone like that now? Is it John Goodman? Is it?
No, what's his name? King of Queens for a while. He practically. Sure.
Who, Jerry that. Stiller?
No.
Jerry
Stiller, yes, Jerry Stiller.
Paul Blart Mall Cop guy.
Oh, you mean Paul James. What I'm saying is do we have an aged comedic actor who's been around forever? I mean, is it still, is it Don, not Don Knotts, Don Rickles? Who is that guy now?
Ooh, that's a good question. And now it's Burt Reynolds. Yeah, perfect.
Right. All right, fair enough. Okay. They call you the Bandit.
They call you the Bandit.
There's some of that sweet
Django.
Django, exactly. That's exactly what that was. Did y'all, speaking of the music, I mean, it felt like it was smacking me in the face a lot of times with the music. When the cops are around, they had their music. When the Bandit was around, he had his music.
Theme music.
When there was a scene that was supposed to be emotional gains between Bert and Ernie.
Yeah, they all sounded like TV music too.
They did.
Like the TV bad guy just walked in.
You're totally not wrong. But think about it. The other movie that year that did slightly better financially in the box office was Star Wars. And what is the other movie you think of when you think of everything having its own theme music?
All right, I'll give you that.
It's Star Wars. So the minute the Emperor walks in, or Vader has his music, and Luke and Leia have their crap, and it's the same. I think it was just a time thing. Because TV did that too. What's this one? Oh.
Buford T. Justice.
I just want to hear him say it.
I love that.
All right, this is the one I wanted. This is a weird line. Again, I don't quite know what he means.
I'll catch you on the flip side, darling. I'm too pooped to pop.
I'm too pooped to pop, baby.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
I have some...
my
I have some seedy things I could think of, but
yeah, I think that's what it is.
No, it wouldn't fit in. Know.
Don't do that because I
need another half an hour to I just took my hat off. If you know what I mean?
Right, right. I have a line that I think is the dirtiest line in the movie, but I don't think they intended it to be. But okay, you guys listen and you tell me if I'm wrong. Here it is, 7 seconds of what I believe to be the dirtiest thing in Smokey and the Bandit.
Hey, Bandit, this is Little Beaver. Put your foot on the floor, we got your back door, and I'm clear.
Wow.
Best acting in the entire film.
It's Little now, was Beaver.
That, was Little Beaver. That wasn't Hot Pants.
No, you're thinking of Foxy. Oh, no, Hot Pants and Foxy Lady and then Little Beaver were the three lady right. truckers.
Hot Pants was hot.
Yeah, she wore hot pants. She was so right. You could only assume from Little Beaver that.
Yeah, right?
Watching your back door, dude.
Little Beaver.
And then a weird dude saying stuff is how I titled this one.
All right, gang, we're going to go for a big Smokey Red 22. Woo-hoo!
Oh, my gosh. Relax,
thank you,
buddy.
College school, not graduate. What right. an idiot.
Guy
it,
who...
it was that was a total 50s throwback. Yep. That was a weird yep. thing they did.
Kind of a beach movie thing.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, weird vibe.
The Yellow played Little Beaver only in 4 films. One of them, besides Smokey and the Bandit, the other one was Cannonball Run.
Oh, wow. So somebody's sister or something.
Exactly.
That's what that is. Hey, Little Beaver, we need you again.
They just found her at a truck stop.
She's eyeing the glory of Hollywood every time she gets to put on the Little Beaver hat.
What was it? Chuck and Puke? What was the name of that place?
Oh, the Pole and Puke. What was it?
Chuck and...
Choke and Puke.
Choke and Puke. Yeah, the Choke and Puke. Ugh, what the hell are they thinking?
I don't know. That sounds great, though. Let's go to the Choke and Puke now.
All right. Actually, I know where I want to go.
Oh,
awards.
All right.
Let's do some Film Sack Awards, ladies and gentlemen. These are the awards we're affording this film. Jackie Gleason made Scott laugh out loud multiple times award.
Totally.
The How Can Sally Field Kiss That Nasty Stash award.
Aw.
The Foxy Lady is Not a Foxy Lady award. At all. Ugh. The best Cletus since Dukes of Hazzard award goes to Cletus. I really liked him. I thought he was great.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Yep, mm-hmm. He was real good. And we have a Star Trek connection. This, according to Daryl the Trek Nerd, says Michael Mann is in it. He is the guy that does The Machine is Broken. I can't make it go.
The pack lid?
That's what I see. This is all but spat out beside stuntmen. And never mind. He's saying that Michael Mann did stunt work in Star Trek, and that's it. That's the only connection.
I gotcha.
Okay. That's a lot of stunt work. That doesn't seem right, though.
A lot of stunt work.
Doesn't it seem like there should be somebody else?
I think Burt Reynolds was an Andorian one time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Andorian? You know what? Isn't that that's Star Wars. Oh, no, I'm thinking
of... no.
I'm thinking of Endor.
You've made a terrible mistake.
No, you've made a terrible error.
Make it stop right now. Yeah, take stop. That back. Take it back.
Mandalorian is what I'm thinking of. Soundtrack grade, I'd give it a K for kinda okay, but kinda terrible. Like,
This was kind of fun with the whole narration thing.
That stuff I liked.
It fit. How about that?
But
it,
Randy's comment about like the TV moments were real bad.
They were. Yeah, I don't. I say it's below average as far as music goes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, you guys get to now sum things up in 140 characters or less. That's according to the rules set forth by the National Film Sack Council. let's start with Randy. What do you got?
Smokey and the Bandit. Simply put, this is the greatest movie we've ever seen in the history of Film Sack this week. What a week. 10-4, good buddies.
10-200.
10-200. All right. Nice job. And then Brian Dunaway.
Smokey and the Bandit. Burt Reynolds has a lot of bad habits like speeding, chewing gum, smoking, cussing, eating fast food, littering. Smokey and the Bandit more like Smokey and the Scoundrel. Oh, my God. That was terrible. I hope Ibbot has something better.
Beautiful transition. That leads us to Brian Ibbett.
Smokey and the Bandit. Burt Reynolds did this movie for the glory, for the money, and for the fun, but mostly for the money.
Nice job. Oh, you perfect. Guys and your Burt Reynolds laugh.
Love it.
There you go.
That's awesome.
You guys force it less than he does, in my opinion.
Right.
Well, here's what I learned while I forgot to put a thing in there. Okay. apparently, if your name is Mr. Big, you can have state plates that simply say Mr. Big on them.
Mr. Big,
baby. I thought that was pretty fancy. They never saw him but once, but I thought that was cool.
What's the plate say, Mr. Big? That's right.
I think Boss Apparently, Hogg did that, too.
Also, if somebody buys you a Trans Am, you can get vanity plates put on it overnight.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right before you leave. Nice. I can't tell you how many times I nearly ran over a lady in a bridal gown and ended up taking her on my beer run adventure. Nobody can trail a roll of toilet paper like Jackie Gleason can.
Right, exactly.
Maybe like 4-ply or something.
Oh,
that
my
stuff
gosh, that stuff was gonna. Yeah, that was amazing. Tethered him to the choke and puke or whatever.
The choke.
And then finally, never drive 110 miles per hour with Forrest Gump's mother in your lap. And that's what I learned while you did whatever you did. Hey, an email message came to us over the internet. It's, all the kids are into it. Jeremy Walkenfuss, real name, says, hi, Brian, Randy, and Scott. Happy 2-year FilmSack anniversary. I was scrolling through your show on Instacast, which includes every single show, which is awesome, and saw that the one about Kroll was released on 10/30/09. I know this is not a true 2-year anniversary, but maybe Dunaway actually watched Kroll a few days earlier on 10/27/09 or something. And with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old running around the house, the chances of me remembering to send this over the weekend are pretty slim. Thanks for everything. You guys are truly the best, Jeremy.
Wow.
So I want to take this moment to say, roughly, happy 2-year anniversary to all of us.
Awesome. Yeah.
That seems like yesterday.
Guys, let's get in here with a little hug and
all right,
a laugh.
Let's get in nice and tight.
I just want to point out Brian Dunaway not only watched Kroll on October 27th, a couple years ago, probably October 25th, maybe back in September that year as well.
He's got a Kroll problem.
Yeah.
He's like a movie watching glaive. You throw it and just keeps coming back. But in as much seriousness as we ever do on the show, this is one of my favorite things I've ever done is the show. So here's to 2 more years, gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Chink. I have no desire to end this thing, although we've been recording a long time today.
Yeah, I keep thinking one day something's going to happen to Scott. It happens to everybody. He's going to be in the hospital for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to all go to a hospital all together. And we're going to sit around and watch movies on a crappy hospital TV.
Yeah. Like a little 4x3 crappy CRT hanging from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we'll all gather around an iPhone and talk and record.
Yep. And my chronic flatulence won't bother anyone, which is the reason I'm in there. Okay. Okay. We can't do it. All right. We're out of here.
That's it. Who gave him beans? Who brought Randy? Why would you bring him beans?
Beans have no place in the hospital.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Poor Scott, no cough switch to cover it up.
All right. Well, Scott Fletcher, who's been a part of the show since day one, thankfully, has these quotes. He has these quotes to say about the show. Check it out.
If I wasn't about to my pants, I'd be fascinated.
That one's awesome.
It's great.
Tip of the hat.
I take my hat off for one thing. One thing only.
Yeah.
And we all know exactly what he's talking about. Like, there's no doubt.
Yep. And now, same thing, less sexy.
I take my hat off for one thing only.
There you go. Oh, man. Speaking of fat people.
Oh, I love your suits. It must have been a bitch to get a 68 extra fat and a 12 dwarf.
And finally, it looks like Fletcher's hungry in the end.
Give me a Diablo sandwich, a Dr. Pepper, and make it quick. I'm in a goddamn hurry.
Nice. Scott Fletcher once again, a swing and a hit.
Yeah.
And home run. Mm-hmm. Got baseball on the mind. All right. That's it. That's the show, guys. Next week, Strange Days. I don't mean I mean the movie.
Yeah.
I thought you meant, just be another strange day.
1990-something Catherine Bigelow film about the future of the world at the 1999 New Year's Eve sort of thing. Everybody's into some weird hallucinogenic electro-freaking techno drugs.
Yeah. I haven't seen this yet.
It's really good, but it's been so long and so much has changed in our world, and I don't know how I'm going to feel about it.
Can't wait.
But it's got what's her name? Bissette, who should have been Storm. Bissette. Yeah. The really pretty.
Angela
Bissette. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or is it
Angela Bassett? Angela
Bassett. I'm thinking of the Bissette chick from not 90210. Melrose Place. That's what I'm thinking of. The blonde. The hot blonde.
Oh, yeah. What was her? Josie Bissett.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Don't ask me why I confused
those two. Get to the next movie after that one.
And Ralph Fiennes also. Who's in the... I don't even remember what the next one is. What's the next one?
Maverick.
Oh, Maverick. Cowboys.
I haven't seen that either. And that has... what's his face?
Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
What's her face? Panic Room. What's her name? I don't know why I picked
Jodie Foster.
I don't know why I picked Panic Room, but
that's why I was wondering. Like, out of all the things she's done,
I know she's like good at everything, and I picked Panic Room. Also in that film, you got the actual Maverick. What's his name? James Garner. Yeah,
James Garner. Yeah.
So yeah,
this is fun. How many points do I have so far?
Right, it was winning.
Can you add dings to that when you actually?
It's like Vegas. Oh my gosh, the guy from Colorado keeps winning. So yeah, watch for that. I'm looking forward to that. A new Western. Yep. That'll be fun. We haven't done enough of those on the show.
Oh, show.
So that's it. Strange Days next week. Tune in for that. That's on Netflix streaming. You can find it there. Watch it and then join us. The website to visit is filmsack.com. All the archives leading back to 2 years ago are there, starting with Kroll and then getting worse from that. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com. You can always follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/filmsack. And leave us a review on iTunes. As always, we love your feedback there. That will do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yay.
We'll see you next week.
I got to take a squirt.
Yeah, they use the squirt term. You don't hear that often anymore.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.